the processional hymn 196, O Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness. Service this morning. This fourth Sunday of Epiphany is generally observed as World Leprosy Day, so we will be focusing on the work of the leprosy mission and our support for it. This Sunday is also the Sunday before the 70th anniversary of the sinking of the motor vessel Princess Victoria on the 31st of January 1953. So we will be recalling that event and its impact on our population and community over the years since then. The service is that of morning prayer, beginning with the opening greeting on page 101. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do, and are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
On page 118, the traditional form of the Canticle Venite, verses 1 to 7.
Those who go down to the sea in ships
and ply their trade in great waters,
these have seen the works of the Lord,
and his wonders in the deep.
But as it were, the storm had been removed,
and lifted up the waves of the sea.
They were carried up to the heavens,
and down again into the deep.
Their soul
was
never in vain.
They reeled and staggered like a drunkard,
and were out of the sand.
Then they cried to the Lord of their trouble,
and he brought them out of their distress.
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, beginning at verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, on a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the ways, on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. The canticle after which the young people may withdraw for Sunday school. Herbs Fortitudinis on page 130. The New Testament reading is from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, beginning at verse 14. But soon a violent wind called the northeaster rushed down from Crete. Since the ship was caught and could not be turned with its head to the wind, we gave way to it and were driven. By running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. After hoisting it, they took measures to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run on the Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and so were driven. We were being pounded by the storm so violently that on the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, with their own hands, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest raged, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and thereby avoided this danger and loss. I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For last night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor, and indeed God has granted safety to all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we will have to run aground on some island.' When the 14th night had come, as we were drifting across the Sea of Adria, about midnight the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took soundings and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took soundings again and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. But when the sailors tried to escape from the ship and had lowered the boat into the sea on the pretext of putting out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and set it adrift. Just before daybreak, Paul urged all of them to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have been in suspense and remaining without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will help you survive, for none of you will lose a hair from your heads.' After he had said this, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then all of them were encouraged and took food for themselves. We were in all 267 persons in the ship. After they had satisfied their hunger, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat into the sea. In the morning, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach, on which they planned to run the ship ashore if they could. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea. At the same time, they loosened the ropes that tied the steering oars. Then, hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the ship aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the force of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none might swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest to follow, some on planks and others on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land." On page 122, the traditional form of the canticle Benedictus.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a mighty salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, perform the mercy promised to our forefathers, and to remember his holy covenant, to perform the oath which he sware to our forefather Abraham.
Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the King.
And grant your help.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants touch your glory.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those who are your chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, may clean our hearts within us. Creator God, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, and shine into the hearts of all your people and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And we join in the first and second collects at morning prayer on page 114. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hymn 213, Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands. Words of the Litany on page 175. God the Father, Creator of heaven and earth. God the Son, Redeemer of the world. God the Holy Spirit, Giver of life. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God. Save us, good Lord, from all sin and wickedness, from pride, hypocrisy, and conceit, from envy, hatred, and malice, and all uncharitableness. From sins of thought, word, and deed, from the lusts of the flesh, from the deceits of the world, and the snares of the devil. From fire, storm, and flood, from disease, pestilence, and want, from war and murder, and from dying unprepared. From all false doctrine, from hardness of heart, from contempt of your word and commandment, and from the evil of schism. In times of joy and in times of sorrow, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment, save us, Lord Christ, by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your birth, childhood, and obedience, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your ministry in word and work, by your mighty acts of power, and by your preaching of the kingdom, by your agony and trial, by your cross and passion, and by your precious death and burial, by your mighty resurrection, by your glorious ascension, and by your sending of the Holy Spirit.
Save us, Lord Christ.
Hear us, good Lord. Govern and direct your holy church, fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is your will.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give your church courage to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give knowledge and understanding to bishops, priests, and deacons. that by their life and teaching they may proclaim your word. Give all people grace to receive your word and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Bring all who have erred and are deceived into the way of truth. Guard and bless our rulers, especially Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, and grant that they may trust in you and seek your honour and glory. Bless our country and give grace, wisdom, and understanding to all in authority. Bless the European nations and draw us closer to one another in justice and freedom. Bless those who administer the law, that they may uphold justice in honesty and truth. Bless and keep all who maintain peace and safety. Give to all nations unity, peace, and concord. Strengthen the faithful, comfort and help the faint-hearted, raise up those who fall, and drive out all evil. Support and encourage all who are in poverty, unemployment, or distress. Protect those whose work is dangerous, especially on the seas, and keep in safety all who travel. Keep fathers, mothers, and children united in their family life, and give them wisdom and strength in times of stress. Heal the sick, especially all suffering from leprosy. Care for the old and lonely, and comfort the bereaved. Remember the poor who long to hear good news. Give us the will to strengthen them through acts of generous love. Show your pity on victims of strife, on the homeless and the hungry, on prisoners and on all who live in fear. Forgive our enemies, persecutors and slanderers, and turn their hearts. Guide and direct all who influence others through the written or the spoken word, and inspire all who serve mankind in science, industry, and art. Bless and keep all your people. Teach us to use the resources of the earth to your glory, that all may share in your goodness and praise you for your loving kindness. Savior of the world, forgive our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may amend our lives according to your holy word, and share with all your people the joys of your eternal kingdom. Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, bearer of our sins, Jesus, Redeemer of the world. Hymn 512, From You All Skill and Science Flow.
Oh, May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Whenever we visit someone's home by invitation for a meal, or when we drop in casually to someone's home and are offered hospitality, we are inevitably asked one fundamental question, and it's very simple. Tea or coffee? Isn't it strange? With coffee, we tend to focus so much on where the coffee is from. We know the country's different climate and traditional growing methods, which allow us to enjoy different tastes and flavors. However, I wonder if many of us have ever thought about where our tea has come from. Have we ever wondered about the journey of our warm and uplifting cuppa? From leaf to pot, what does it look like? The lush tea gardens of Bangladesh supply much of the tea leaves that brew our cuppas. However, amongst the vast rows of tea bushes is a devastating weed. And I'm using the word weed metaphorically here. A weed which is choking the lives and potential of its workforce. Leprosy. Each year we observe World Leprosy Day. It seems to be something of a shock to many to hear leprosy is still such an issue in our world today. We read about Jesus healing those affected by leprosy in the Bible, and many assume it's a thing of the past. That, however, is simply not the case. Leprosy is like the weed planted amongst the wheat by the enemy in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. It takes root subtly and slowly. The enemy uses it to tell those affected they are unworthy, unloved, and the lowest of the low. It chokes potential and their day-to-day lives. You may be thinking, surely leprosy doesn't affect that many people. But again, that isn't the case. There are nearly 250,000 newly diagnosed cases of leprosy every single year, with 10% of those cases found in children. That means every 2 minutes, someone in our world hears the words, "You have leprosy." Those may be three short words, but with them carries fear, stigma, and shame. Leprosy is often a disease linked to poverty, affecting the poorest of the poor in our world. It thrives in areas where pure nutrition, overcrowding, shared washing facilities, and low standards of living naturally lower people's immune systems. However, this choking doesn't stop there. The shame and social stigma attached to leprosy means people are still treated as outcasts. They are often pushed out of their communities and abandoned by their family. There are laws which prevent them from having certain jobs, marrying certain people, or even their right to health care. Leprosy is not simply a disease. It is an injustice. It leaves desolation and destruction in the lives of those affected. However, we have the opportunity to stop it, to rip it out by the root, to throw it on the furnace and stop it once and for all, allowing leprosy-affected people to flourish. in the beautiful tea gardens of Bangladesh, where much of tea comes from, leprosy cases are higher than anywhere else in the world. Among the 600,000 people living in the tea communities, almost every family is affected by the disease, where leprosy cases are 20 to 30 times higher than the global average. We here in Northern Ireland can adopt that same mentality and practice of partnerships and co-workers that we see in Bangladesh. And St. Paul outlines this perfectly. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 3, we see Paul having to address misguided loyalty and tells them to focus on the master, not the servant. At the same time, he uses the metaphor of planting and watering to explain service. To demonstrate, we all have different gifts, but are led by the same Spirit and are working for the same purpose, to serve the Master, Jesus Christ. This is a beautiful picture which we can apply to our missional service to those affected by leprosy. We are all co-workers working towards the same purpose, whether we are here in Northern Ireland or in Bangladesh, Nepal, or Nigeria. The purpose and task we believe God has set before us at the leprosy mission is ending leprosy once and for all. The leprosy mission have an ambitious goal of seeing zero leprosy transmission by the year 2035. We want to see the full restoration we read about in Isaiah for future generations where leprosy is no longer an issue. To get there, we as co-workers need to help enable those affected to flourish. Flourishing health, where we can enable early detection to prevent disability. Flourishing communities and lives where we can break down stigma and fear. Flourishing livelihoods where people are supported and trained in new skills so they can be self-sufficient, or loans to set up small businesses. We want to allow those affected to flourish in every aspect of life, not just physical, so that they can be free from leprosy's choking grip and live their lives to the fullest. This paves a way to a future without leprosy. How amazing would it be to say that we were a part of that, to say we allowed future generations to flourish without the choking grip of leprosy. Well, it was 70 years ago, on the 31st of this month, some 133 people lost their lives when the car ferry Princess Victoria sank in a ferocious gale off the County Down coast. It was one of the United Kingdom's worst post-war sea tragedies. Yet today, the terrible loss is barely remembered by the wider public. Not one woman or child on board survived, and it is regarded as a generation's Titanic. But very little is known about the tragedy outside of Northern Ireland and perhaps Scotland. The roll-on, roll-off ferry went down with only 44 survivors, all men, out of 177 people who set out that stormy morning on the short crossing from Scotland. Many of the victims were from Northern Ireland and in Larn, and most families were said to be affected in some way. Those 133 who lost their lives included the then Deputy Prime Minister of Northern Ireland, Major Maynard Sinclair, and the MP for North Down, Sir Walter Smiles. The author of the book Death in the North Channel, The Loss of the Princess Victoria, Stephen Cameron, is the one who described the 1953 disaster as a generation's Titanic. The women and children had all been put in one lifeboat. That lifeboat was set adrift and then lifted by the waves and smashed against the hull of the ship, and they were all thrown into water. But this was the largest loss of life in the water surrounding the United Kingdom, and it is now little mentioned. This was not as large a disaster as the Titanic, but it was just as tragic. The wreckage of the ferry still lies at the bottom of the Irish Sea, 5 miles northeast of the Copeland Islands. And the Sir Samuel Kelly lifeboat was launched on the night of the 31st of January, 1953, from Donaghadee Harbour. And it was she saved 33 out of the 44 survivors. We heard in today's New Testament reading the Apostle Paul, that he was a prisoner on his way to Rome. He was en route to appeal his death sentence to the Caesar. Every Roman citizen had that right, although it could take years to get an audience with Caesar. The journey by sea was treacherous at any time of the year, but this trip had been delayed to the most dangerous time of the year. Paul advised the crew not to set sail at all, predicting there would be trouble. He was ignored, and they set sail for the dangerous trip to Italy. Soon after departure, a violent storm proved Paul right. The storm raged for days, and the ship was adrift on the rolling sea until they saw an unknown island. Here was the challenge. If they steered it to the island correctly, they would be spared. If not, the ship would be destroyed, and they would be too far into the sea to survive. On the final morning, the crew noticed a bay with a beach on this island. After strategizing, they planned to run the ship ashore on this beach. In trying to maneuver, they struck a reef. The ship ran aground, and the stern and many other parts of the ship were violently shattered into hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces. There were other prisoners on board as well as passengers. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none would swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, because they had developed a personal connection, ordered those who could swim to abandon the ship and make their way to shore first. He then told those who could not swim to grab pieces of the wreckage of the battered ship and use them to float to shore. Just think about it. After two harrowing weeks at sea, a storm and a shipwreck, 276 individuals reached shore safely. Some made it on their own power, and some made it by clinging to pieces of the destroyed ship. Nonetheless, all came to safety. Your presence and mine at this morning service is evidence that we have made it through the unprecedented storms of these past 2 years, the storms of a pandemic, the storms in the course of politics, protest, and in natural disasters. We praise God. Storms will come, but the worst storms cannot hide the face of God or defeat his purpose. God had promised Paul that he would get to Rome, Thus, no storm or shipwreck would prevent Paul's arrival. God has a purpose for each of us, and the situations of 2023 will not alter that purpose. So let us thank God for the broken pieces in our lives, the broken pieces which help to make us holy.
And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we ascribe as is most justly due all might, majesty, praise, glory, and dominion from this time forward and forevermore. Amen.
The loose collection at this service and at next Sunday's service will be divided between the Leprosy Mission and the Royal National Lifeboat Institute. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn 612, Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
Leprosy Mission Prayer. Almighty Father, the giver of life and health, look mercifully on those who suffer from leprosy. Stretch out your hand to touch and heal them as Jesus did during his earthly life. Grant wisdom and insight to those who are seeking the prevention and cure of the disease. Give skill and sympathy to those who minister to patients. Reunite the separated with their families and friends, and inspire your people with the task set before the Leprosy Mission, that it may never lack either the staff or the means to carry on its healing work. In accordance with your will, and to the glory of your holy name, We ask this for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
And a prayer for men and women of the sea. We pray, O God, for all seafarers as they fulfill the duties and face the dangers of their calling. The officers and members of the Royal Navy and the Merchant Navy, the keepers of lighthouses, the crews of lightships and weather ships, the pilots of our ports, all who carry out the services of docks and harbors, and those who man lifeboats and guard our coasts. Grant them your strength and protection, and keep them in the hour of special need, for Jesus Christ's sake. Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. On Wednesday and Saturday evenings, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the Feast of the Presentation of Christ in the Temple, parish communion at 10 o'clock. And items for the food bank may be left next Sunday or the following Sunday. And just looking a bit ahead, the next family service will take place later in the month than usual on Sunday, the 26th of February. That is to coordinate with the first Sunday in Lent and our usual observance of Church Missionary Society Sunday. That service will be followed by refreshments in the hall. The recessional hymn 680, will your anchor hold in the storms of life?